A Dadsnet original podcast. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Loose Dads podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Loose Dads podcast. We are live streaming 8:30 on a Tuesday night, but we're also in your podcast providers of choice like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all those other types of gubbins as well. My name's Jim. It's time to introduce the panel for you before we get going. It's the week where Taylor Swift has all 10 positions on the US top 10. So I thought I'd introduce the panel as Taylor Swift songs.
Okay.
Brad's known for his edgy comments for sort of saying basically the wrong thing at the wrong time, basically bringing that unwanted attention. Brad, I knew you were trouble.
Oh, yes.
Now, we've got Jack. He has a sideline away from his work as a corporate boy at Dadsnet. He has a little sideline buying and selling instruments. And when one of those goes out of his house that he loves, but he's restored it for someone, there are teardrops on my guitar.
Hey! Nice.
Sparky is the exuberant one of the bunch. He's always up. He's always lively. He's always perky. Sparky, you need to calm down.
Love
yes,
it.
Yes, boys. You need to calm down.
And I am Cardigan, because, you know, I love wearing cardigans. What can I say? Although, strange enough choice, not worn a cardigan tonight for this show. So, you know, off-brand, unfortunately.
You knew you were doing that, Jim. You knew you were doing that gag. So, like, you should have had a cardigan on.
No, it should have been.
Be like, come on, mate. It's like, write your own script here, pal. Yeah.
Now, you see, I thought after Brad's post-vasectomy story, where he gave himself some self-care a bit too soon after his vasectomy, I thought he might be shake it off.
I'd just like to take this opportunity to say thank you to Taylor Swift for having so many very descriptive song titles. It's not until you've looked through a Wikipedia that you realize that that was actually quite the gift for me today. So thank you, Taylor. On the way, we'll look inside the news. We'll find out what's going on there, including the man who's leaving the country at the time when we could probably do with him. Although actually on this recent form, could we? Do we care? Who knows? And we'll also be answering to a big question from the Dadsnet group as well, talking about something that is topical for the week that we're recording this. But first of all, let's talk about Gulp, because this is a big thing that we've discovered this week, right? Is that, you know, every time you do your washing, there are 700,000 microplastics that enter the waterways, and that has blown our tiny minds, I think it's fair to say, yeah?
Yeah. Who knew that in our fight against plastics, it was more than just putting stuff in the recycling bin that you needed to do? Like, who knew that there was plastic in your washing? Like, really? Well,
apparently something like 60% of our clothes have plastic fibres in them. And so that's why there's so many microfibres.
So we're saying there's a couple of options. One, never wash your clothes.
Yeah,
that is one option.
Or two, use Gulp. This is why Gulp exists. So it's a plastic-free, you get plastic-free washing. It's a sustainably focused innovation company. And it's this little thing that hooks up to your machine and it gulps up all the microplastics. You see? Hey.
Like, the funny thing is, I usually look at like all of these sort of products that come out on Kickstarter, and like 9 times out of 10 I'm like, oh, that's a little bit gimmicky for me, but hands down legitimate. This is one where I looked at it and went, you know what, I'm actually gonna get one of those, because I'm so conscious about what we're doing to the environment, and microplastics are absolutely terrible and they're dreadful everywhere. So to have the opportunity to do a little bit, obviously the more of us that do it, the better. I'm definitely getting on board with this. This is absolutely phenomenal for me.
And the fact that it's got like, there's no filters, there's no disposable parts, anything like that. Brilliant. It's like a one-time thing. You just plug it in and go.
Just one less thing us as men have to worry about changing.
Yeah, yeah, which I'm fine with. And better the thing, as Jim described it, aka the gulp, gobble up those microplastics than a beautiful turtle that we love in our seas. Come yes. on.
you can get involved on Kickstarter. You get great discounts when the product launches. Just search for Gulp on Kickstarter, but we will also put the link into the description of this podcast. So make sure that you have a look there. Right, let's have a look inside the news. So we are in an age of political turmoil. There is a cost of living crisis. The Bank of England stopping quantitative easing, and it's reversing that. We're going to have spending cuts. We're going to have higher taxes. That's what we've been told. We've got problems at immigration camps, both caused by random members of the public and also of the Home Secretary, apparently.
I mean, this sounds like a lovely world to be in, Jim.
I was going
to
say, Jim, like you're catastrophizing me a bit. Give me some good news.
Well, the good news, I suppose, if you don't like politicians, is that one of them's leaving the country. Hey! but you think at the time, I know Matt Hancock, right, is not in the cabinet anymore. And I think he's basically gone, oh, I can't be bothered with any of this. But it probably is the time. We were just a week or so ago having to go at Boris Johnson for going off on holiday when he should have been in Parliament representing his constituents. And that was fair. But now he's come back and it's Matt Hancock who's going to leave for however many weeks. We don't know because he's going on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Mm-hmm. He's going to be appearing on that. He's going to be eating a kangaroo's penis rather than helping out the people of West Suffolk or wherever his constituency is.
Better a kangaroo's penis than one of his co-workers.
What,
hey? He didn't even know his penis. Sorry, he didn't. No. Hey, I know what you're saying, mate.
I was trying to be satirical and crashed a boat.
Hey, let's just say though, as we've learned from over COVID, he's keen for a Bush Tucker trial.
No way. But it's on a very serious note. Being an MP is one of those jobs where you think, you know, you get quite long holidays. You should be there in term time, like with teachers. All right, Sparky, your other half is a teacher. She's not going to go, I'm just booking a fortnight in Magaluf just in the middle of the summer term. Right.
Absolutely.
So you're paying the extra money to go on holiday during the school holidays because you have to, because when her job's on, she needs to be there doing a job. As an MP, you should probably do that as well. Right.
Like 100%. And also, he shouldn't be able to have fun like I'm a Celebrity. I'm sorry. As a fan of someone who enjoys I'm a Celebrity, Matt Hancock, for everything that's happened to him in the last 2 years in what he's been putting into his job, one, he's not a celebrity. If the show was called I'm a Bellend, Get Me In Here, then he's number one candidate.
Sometimes it might be. It's in his name. It's in his name. You're there. I mean,
but you know, this is the only thing where he's going to get a lot of votes because he's going to get voted to do the Bush Tucker trial every single time. And
about that, like he was voted in as an MP. He was voted in to do a job for the public, and he's just gone.
Hold on, ITV.
This one's more money.
Yeah,
this one's more money. I'm going to do this one, and like. Like, if anything proves that MPs are, like, just out for themselves and not out for the people they're actually supposed to serve, it's shit like this.
He has had the Tory whip taken away from him, so he is no longer actually a Tory MP. He's now an independent MP who's not where he should be.
He's not an MP, is he, mate?
And... about 10 years after Nadine Dorris did the same thing. Now, you'd say this was the end of Matt Hancock's career. Nadine Dorris, bizarrely, managed to come back and then hold quite a high office until recently. Mm. And now she's going into the House of Lords, which shows another thing that's wrong with society as well.
But that's the Boris media circus, isn't it? He loves people who have been, you know, on TV shows like him.
Yes.
And so if Matt Hancock had done this whilst Boris was still in power, he'd have been like, Deputy Prime Minister.
But would Matt Hancock be a candidate for it if he hadn't had the, you know, the dramatic sordid affair in the middle of COVID? Like, that sort of, has that sort of pushed him up this? Not, I don't, I'm not using the term celebrity to describe him because I don't agree with that. But is that made him more of a, I don't know, common, like, you know, in the public eye more so? And is that why he's right for I'm a Celebrity? Because, like, oh, we can get some juicy gossip.
Well, maybe it's either that. It's either the fact that he was, you know, breaking his own COVID laws by bunking up with one of his co-workers, or it's the fact that he failed abysmally to provide the right PPE for doctors and people like that. And and one of those two, I don't know which of those reasons is a better reason to be famous enough to go on I'm a Celebrity, but probably. Yeah.
But it makes me angry. He's going to get paid more money, guys. Colossally shit at his job.
I think I've worked this out, right? So you're his manager. Or boss, whatever the position is, and you're like
Prime Minister.
Man, I really need to. Yeah, but he probably, there's someone else who signs off on the whole. Like, you know, like the hierarchy system just never ends. And this person's sitting there going, I really need to get rid of him. Redundancy pay is going to be far too much. Australia, that's got like the world's deadliest snakes and scorpions and spiders. Statistically, the odds of maybe him being stung or bitten by one is pretty good. If I backhand pay some of the medics to just ignore him for a good 10-15 minutes after he pleas for help, maybe, and then claim back on his life insurance, because they probably put a life insurance policy out on him, so they'll get money anyway. So it's like,
well, if his life insurance is as good as his PPE, he's done for anyway, man.
Well, I was going to say, that's what they could do. Just send him out into the bush and go, Matt, you've got a bin bag. Do with it what you will.
Good luck, mate. Good. Like, it is, though, the bit that's infuriating about it for just the normos in the world is that, well, absolutely, he's won again from messing up his job, like being, he's won from being terrible at his job. And I feel like that's the thing that a lot of people are going to find hard to swallow. I really do hope that Chris Moyles or one of the other celebs on there corners him and gives him a really hard time. Like, and they show it on TV. Like, this one's on ITV to really, like, I don't know, show a moment where he could have to explain himself a bit, because this is his chance to show a normal side of politics, like to have a wall broken down that we don't normally see through. And I hope that's the positive that can come out of this. But him getting paid for it, nah, that's out of order, isn't it?
It'd be fascinating if someone does take him to task. And maybe Chris Moyles is the person to do that. I don't know. He's an interviewer, isn't he? Because you remember when George Galloway went into Celebrity Big Brother and Preston from The Ordinary Boys was in at the same time. What a bizarre time. And there was one point where, you know, because George Galloway is a very complex man with a lot of complex things going on. And it would have been fascinating for someone to have dug a little bit deeper. But all I think happened was Preston from The Ordinary Boys went, "You're friends with Saddam Hussein," and ran away. And that was a bit like, I'd like to know a bit more about that.
Sorry, that's not even the George Galloway highlight of that series.
Well,
the
George Galloway highlight
is him pretending to be a cat.
Yes, of course.
One of the creepiest things I've seen on telly, and I used to watch Euro Trash as a kid. So that is real creepy, man.
Do you think that Rishi Sunak is actually, what he's doing, he is sending out one by one his MPs onto reality TV shows to see if they will get voted for? And, you know, you've got, right, okay, Matt Hancock was quite popular. Maybe we'll win the next election. I don't know. Let's send a few more out onto Dancing on Ice and things like that and see if the public like them or not. It'd be like a market research that they could be doing. I don't know.
I think this is just Tory MPs going, we're coming to the end of the road. Like, we need new career paths.
Yeah, I genuinely think that could well be the thing, isn't it?
It's certainly like, with Matt Hancock.
Yeah, this is the end of the road for me. I think, if on a serious note, he should probably have waited till after the COVID inquiry had happened, because that's still only at the next little sort of phase going.
But we've got the least of joy of that. At least we can see one day where ITV show Matt Hancock cleaning out the dunny, and he's going to have to turf out one of Chris Moyles' thunder turds after they've done a Bush Tucker trial. And that's some of the punishment that Matt Hancock deserves. And so I'll be happy to see that at least.
Well, okay, good. So we've decided probably shouldn't be going there. Sparky, have you got a news story this week?
Yeah, I do actually. And it's a parenting kind of base one, actually, guys, because
sorry,
I don't know.
Sparky, we do this every week. Every week, we all come in with news stories. And when Jim says, Sparky, have you got a news story? You go, oh, I have actually. Like, yeah. It's a
Just luckily, I'm prepared. Or actually, you know what, Jack, it's because he opens up his phone and goes, oh, SJ, she did it. Yes, I do, actually.
Well, Jim, funny you should ask whether I've got a news story. I've got one here, selected, and it's a parent-based one, seeing this is a parent-based podcast. I thought this through this evening. But I just wondered, actually, what your thoughts on this one, because it's the headline is, Mum changes son's name after 6 months because she felt uncomfortable with it. And it just took me back to the actual time of like when you're thinking about naming your kid. And I think that's one of the most high pressure situations of your life. Agreed?
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. So does it say what the names were?
Yeah, yeah.
Just like so, to know that.
Okay, like, I'll give you that information then. So her son was called Aspen for 6 months. She named her son Aspen and was worried that he'd be ridiculed or whatever. And so really went with a much safer name by changing it to Luke after 6 months old. But
Aspen,
I don't know what's particularly wrong with Aspen. I mean, these days a lot of people are going for more, I don't know, let's just say out there names. Yeah. I mean,
well, it's a ski resort. So yeah, maybe they just thought it would go downhill after a while.
The thing is, guys, you know, you can think it through as much, like, because you do, you think, you know, when you come to name your kids, you're thinking about, like, okay, instantly just rule out names of people I hated at school, like the bullies or whatever. It's like they're naturally going to be a bully because I've got the same name as the bully at our school or something. Yeah, so we cancelled those out. We cancelled out, I don't know, ones that are difficult to spell or to people to pronounce, because I've got a surname that's difficult enough to pronounce. So, like, let's just keep it straightforward. Yeah. But even the most basic name, like Mark, Mark, I still got bullied. Mark the Park, the big fat wark, still came out at school. So
they were really trying hard there, weren't they?
But really, you can't preempt what's going to happen with your kid's name. Surely, you just
no. Well, I know that for sure, because my daughter was born in November 2013, and we liked the name Elsie, but there were a few Elsies around. We were like, well, I think there's going to be quite a few in her year, so let's not go for that. Let's go for something that's similar but not quite the same. How about Elsa? Yeah, there's not going to be any other Elsas, are there? 3 weeks later. 3 weeks later, I'm pushing around in the pram. I'm listening to the Kermode and Mayo film review podcast, and they talk about this new animated film. They downplayed it a little bit, if anything. But they're like, oh, yeah, and there's a main character called Elsa in it. And it's like, okay, Frozen, right, good. And to me, it just sounded like a bit of a throwaway thing. Obviously, that film went on to become the greatest selling animated film of all time. And it looks to everyone like we're those weird people who like Disney, even though, you know, we're adults. And
yes. Come on, Jim. You know you've got a Winnie the Pooh hoodie somewhere. Fleece.
What's your excuse, Jim, for poor little Quasimodo, your son?
Jim?
Yeah?
It sounds like you just need to let it go.
Oh!
Nice.
Actually, as it happened, though, we were like, oh, God, there's going to be loads of Elsies around. And there aren't really. And there are three Elsies in her year. So we were right to go with that in the end.
You were right to go with Elsa.
Yeah, so in the end, we won.
But changing it after 6 months, could you do that? Like, would you do it?
It's a schlep. No, no, no. To me, it sounds like she's making a mountain out of a molehill. But, like,
you resort out of a molehill.
Hey,
a ski resort out of a molehill.
Yeah.
If you're asking me, it's fun. Nothing wrong with it.
So. But I can get it though. But then again, I wouldn't choose a name like Aspen, because I'd be like, oh, ass. Like that would be the first thing that pops in my head. Ass. Yeah. Yeah. Aspen. Okay. Aspen. So English. But I think, to be honest though, if she feels that there's a chance that the child might get ridiculed, better change it sooner rather than later.
Yeah, yeah, they're not attached to it as 6 months.
Yeah.
About that, probably about that age for Harry, I started questioning whether I'd got my kids' names the wrong way round. I was like, does Jacob look more like a Harry and Harry's more of a Jacob? I decided to keep it as it was.
Yeah, that's. Imagine swapping the names of your kids around. That would be a great story for one of these. But
well, yeah. What's your name? Nan. Like, they get the name. Jacob, Harry, Jack. Colin. What one?
I've started doing that.
Yeah. That's called abject tiredness, Jack. I'm with you. I'm there. Jack, have you got a new story?
Oh, yeah, I do, actually.
Oh, do you? Okay, good. Yeah.
Like what you did there, Jack.
It's lucky, isn't it, that everyone I ask has got one. Still not sure that Brad will, though.
Well, that's the risk factor, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, Twitter. We all know it's been bought by Elon Musk now, right? The most elusive thing on Twitter is the blue tick. How do you get the blue tick? Oh, how do you get verified? Oh, it's so important. You know, some people really think it's important. Well, now you're going to be able to buy a blue tick for just $8 a month.
No.
They've decided
that
is the price of a blue tick verification is $8 a month. And you will basically get priority in replies, mentions and search, ability to post longer in audio, half as many ads, blah, 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 blah.
It sounds to me like Elon's already looking for a way to pay that $35 billion bill that he's
I tell you what, people will pay that as well. Some people are desperate to be verified, and I don't understand it. Because people ask me, they're like, oh, have you tried to be verified? And I'm like, no, what? I don't understand why, what that would bring to my life, other than, and let's get this right, it's a white tick on a blue background. It's not a blue tick.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry. You've been schooled.
Jim's got the pedant tick.
Yeah.
Surely.
You want to give me one of those? Yeah.
If you're good enough to be verified, which is like obviously a superstar celebrity or someone of a high status that you know, doesn't want to be imitated, surely Twitter should be paying you for bringing people to the platform, for bringing content to the platform. Like, you shouldn't be paying them, as far as I'm like, that's, I feel like it's a reverse on how TikTok works and all the other ones. Like, don't they tend to pay the blue tickers because they bring more people to the platform?
There'll be something, you know, he'll shift things around so that shakes out in the wash, I think. Because the other thing he's done is fire the entire 9-person board and made himself the sole director. So I'm sure at some point on a whim, he'll be like, hold on, we should be paying people.
Yeah.
Has anyone, are you on Twitter? Like,
I used to be, but I gave up on it ages ago. Jeez, it was so hard to just find motivation in it, man. It was just negative central.
It has become a very toxic place, Twitter. Really, it has.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've got it, but I just use it for basketball, just to keep up with basketball people.
Because I use it for kind of Yorkshire blog content and stuff, and it's quite good for finding people who are connected in that sort of way, and you know, kind of people who can then pass you content on and stuff. But yeah, when you get into people's discussions and stuff, it can be really horrible. But loads of people going, I'm boycotting it because Elon Musk's taken over. Right? I mean, you know, if you're going to boycott it anytime any megalomaniac billionaire takes over a company that you like, you're not going to be going to many companies.
No.
You know, that's what happens. That's how it all works, you know. Yeah.
I'm boycotting Facebook now, Jim.
Well, not my choice.
You're boycotting you. Yeah.
You've been cancelled, Brad, and it's about bloody time too, mate. The controversial one.
Yeah, we all needed to go onto Facebook to do something the other day, and Brad has conveniently been banned, so he didn't have to do any work. Funny that, isn't it?
I love it. And they won't accept your fake license.
I know. Your actual name. I know, right? It says I'm 21. I was born in Barcelona and they just won't accept it, man.
Right, Brad, do you have a news story?
Of course I do, Jim.
Didn't get it off Facebook, though, did you?
Of course I do. No, I didn't. I didn't. Hey, at least, you know, with me off of Facebook, all the conspiracy theories will start to slow down.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. All right. So I've got two. One is a news story, which I'm going to... Oh, fudge. It's... Oh, no. Guys, sorry. I clicked the button. Yeah. So one is a news story. I'm reviving an old character.
Oh, okay.
Do you guys remember Bricard?
Okay. Was that the ghost, was it?
Yes. Oh, okay. They got married yesterday.
Oh, so what was the woman's name? The singer-songwriter. Bricard, yeah, definitely wasn't saying it to promote a SoundCloud.
Yeah, no, she's Bricard, and she's the Bricard. Husband is Eduardo.
Oh, Eduardo, of course. Sorry. How could I forget?
Have I seen her? Was she on This Morning this week with Holly and Phil? Is that?
I wouldn't have a clue, dude. I don't know, but I was just... absolutely elated to see that she's made it for the third time in the news within the last 2 years. You know, she told us about her orgasms with the ghost when they first met. Then she came out and said they were going to get married, and her Eduardo was looking to invite Elvis and Marilyn Monroe to the wedding, which is magical, right? And now, 31st of October, Halloween, they got married. I mean, this is just... perfect. This is Romeo and Juliet on like a whole other level, guys. I'm sorry.
Congratulations.
I don't think anyone's... sorry, Sparky, this is more important than your wedding recently.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say.
Yeah.
I hope they get the afterglow like I did for the week.
Is that what you call it? We all call that the newlywed phrase.
So do you think he put the willies up or on her?
Yeah, it was the woman. She was on This Morning. Sorry, I've just checked it. Like, do you know what, man? It's like, it's crazy that she's needed to marry a ghost. Like, I've seen...
dude, I mean, it's crazy that the media have been entertaining her for so long on this bloody story.
Sorry, Sparky, are you saying it's crazy that she needed to marry a ghost?
Well, what I'm going to say is...
Because deconstruct that sentence. Okay.
Of all the things that are crazy.
Okay, right. I'm just saying, though.
I feel like at any point she could have married a human, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, right. No, I think I missed my point. What I'm trying to say is she isn't even like...
Yeah. Although, like, I haven't read the article properly, and I don't know if it mentions too much about her solo career. Maybe she's kind of drifted away from that now. And then the other story was just a bit of a personal one. So I'm at work today and I get a text message from my mom of a package that is absolutely disintegrated. The packaging has been disintegrated. So she sends me a message, because I don't know if you remember whenever the postman throw packages over, the dog mauls a package, and sometimes it's my antidepressants, and then I have to take him to the vet to have his stomach pumped. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I saw this package and I thought, oh my God, he's attacked another package. But it turns out it wasn't. It was just the actual weather and the rain had kind of disintegrated the cardboard.
Right, okay.
So I said to him, what is it? I'm not expecting anything. So she just responds and says, lingerie. Now, what happened was a few days ago,
tell me Shay, your dog's in the lingerie. Tell me.
Shay,
your dog's
No.
Choking on a thong.
Thankfully, he was on the other side of the house, right? We cordoned off the front and the back garden. But so a few days ago, Shay bought some unmentionables for our impending trip to the Maldives.
Oh, nice.
And it just happens that, and there were some toys, and it just happens that my eldest and my mom grabbed this package together and all of it crumbled. And
oh, no.
So it turns out that Logan helped my mom take said unmentionables to our bedroom and place them on the bed.
Oh, God.
And, and he wants to know why. Sorry, then Cole wants to know why mommy's ordering funny-looking dresses.
Okay, he's got he's got a lad to learn.
Yeah.
And why have you got a new joystick, Dad? What console's that for?
Yeah. Why is there a ring for a chicken? I don't understand. Why is there...
When they say discreet packaging, they mean
that's the thing. They told Shay it's discreet packaging. It came, but because the bloody postman just lopped it over into the weather, it literally just all crumbled on the thing. So as soon as my mom and Logan picked it up, it just went... Hey.
The thing is, that's probably better for the environment. So, not good for your mental well-being, probably, and awkward conversations that you might be having in the next few days.
But, I know, the boys just keep randomly bringing it up. They're just like, I don't understand why mommy needs a new black dress.
why has mummy bought eggs that we can't eat?
Yeah.
is that a toy for the dog? That looks like something the dog can play with.
I just had visions.
Different kind of bone.
I just had visions that the dog would literally had attacked some of the toys and then swallowed the batteries, and I had to take him to get his stomach pumped and be like, yeah, he swallowed a sex toy.
Every time he barks, he buzzes. Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry, somehow. He's
a Labrador. He's used to chasing rabbits. Oh, no.
Oh, you can always rely on Brad. He did two corkers of two stories there. That's just perfect.
I like to watch the live American people listening at any point. And it was going up. Then Brad made that joke, and it went right down.
As is only right. We'll be answering a big question very soon on Loose Dads from Dad's Net. It's coming up on Loose Dads.
What's it called?
Not sure if you're aware, this is called Loose Dance.
I laughed all the way through that.
We are also part of Dad's Net. And Dad's Net has got together with Farshore. We've teamed up to run a study on the positive impact of dads who regularly read to their children. So what we've done is we've got a load of books from Farshore given to a load of dads, and they're having a little read every night with their kids and filling in a diary and just basically keeping us updated with how they're getting on. We're all part of this as well. So how's it going for everyone? We're quite a few weeks in now. So is that routine still going on, that reading every night routine? How's it going for you, Sparky? You're having a bit of trouble with Jackson not wanting to read the books that you had.
Well, one of my favourite things about this is that it's child-led, isn't it? Like, so we're trying to actually encourage, like, from the start, we try to encourage the kids to pick the books. And so, like, when it comes to reading them, we sort of, like, encourage them to. So, I mean, we spend a lot of afternoons reading because that's when me and Jackson spend a lot of our time together. And I remember, we're doing that thing for Varshaw, so I better do some reading with Jackson. And actually, today has been funny because we've had another package. We've had this new like dinosaur book that's come, which I was trying to get him to read through with me. But also on the side, we had a couple of new cookbooks as wedding presents, which we've had. And he just wants to read the cookbook now. we've got these lovely books that Farshaw sent through, but all he wants to do is look through the cookbooks. And he just calls every, there was a soup section, which he was just calling slop, which is from Swashbuckle on TV. So he's like, slop. But it is going great. Like he's definitely through this whole thing that we've been doing, it's definitely upped his awareness of books. He was already quite aware of them anyway, but yeah, that moment of sitting down and he's noticed that I like to try and take the book to read it to him. And he's like, I'll do it. He's a very independent young man for nearly three. And he, although can't read, he likes to just have the book and be turning the pages. So, I mean, definitely it's really hitting home with us here at my house anyway. So it's good boys. What about yourselves?
Jack, how's it going for you?
So we were reading Stig of the Dump, and it's really sparked something in Jake. They're doing Stone Age at school. And we went for a walk, and normally like I'll be looking for a nice chunky stick, you know, a nice walking stick. And the kids always have to have a stick as well. But this time, Jake was looking for a club. It had to be like Stig's club. He was saying, I want Stig's club. So it was really nice to see that sort of what we'd been reading together come alive outside of just reading together at bedtime. Yeah, I thought it was really nice.
Brad, how's it going for you? Hopefully they're reading the right sort of things and not any of your...
not the Kama
Sutra manuals.
There's a game in on that.
I mean, it's going fantastically well. I mean, like I said to Jack a couple of weeks ago, I was like, Jack, I'm really struggling to fill in my diary entries because like the boys have always loved reading. So I'm like, dear diary, today was good. They enjoyed reading. Day two, dear diary, it was a good one again. They enjoyed reading, you know. But I've always been an advocate for reading with your kids. And I've always said, I don't read for myself, but I love that time I get with them because that's my time. Shay doesn't do any reading with them. So it's our time. And every single night without fail, they'll always be like, are you reading? Are you reading? Are you reading? And tonight they're like, are you reading? I'm like, no, I'm going to the podcast. That takes priority over you.
Yeah. You're right as well.
Yeah, exactly. But I love it. I absolutely love it. I've always loved it. And if there's any dads out there that haven't gotten into it, it's just one of those things. And I would always suggest trying to be like as animated as you can be with the characters, with the story. It just helps their little imagination. And like every single chapter. So the book we're reading at the minute, which I think we're nearly done, it's the chapters are very short. You know, usually you get like 8 or 9 pages. This is like 4. So like they'll always tell me whether or not they feel that chapter ended on a cliffhanger. And if it's ended on a cliffhanger, then I have to read the next one.
Right.
So they don't go to bed on a cliffhanger because they got no patience.
So good news.
Yeah. Love it, Jim. It's an amazing experience. I love it. Always have.
Jim, how's it going with you? Like, what about, like, is Elsa loving her books?
Yeah, she's loving it. It's quite nice. It's nice to have a routine because we are now 12 weeks into our 5-week building job and the kids are sleeping in the same bed still 3 months in. And it's just a nice thing to have to take away from the frustration and anger they both have at being in that situation and that I have as well, to kind of calm them down before bedtime. So that's what we're using it for at the moment. And yeah, that's good. This is Loose Dads from Dad's Net. Let us answer the big question of the week.
The big question of the week.
If you want to know more about that study that we're doing with Farshaw, then what you need to do is go to the website link in the website in the podcast description. You can find out more about that. Right, on the Dadsnet forums, we asked this question earlier today because we're doing the live stream on the week where we end with Bonfire Night on Saturday night, which is the perfect night for Bonfire Night, right, really. So we wanted to know your strongest memories of Bonfire Night as a kid. Loads of people responded to this. It's like a properly evocative time of the year. Jack, what are your memories of Bonfire Night?
My memories of Bonfire Night, we always used to go to the firework display Bonfire Night at my primary school. And it was Panda Pops, Space Raiders, and you know those real crappy burgers cooked on a barbecue by like the PE teacher or something.
I remember.
Anyone get food poisoning? Because I think, you know, when the PE teacher cooks a burger, probably 17-18% are gonna end up with some kind of food poisoning. But that's not part of the fun, right?
That might have been it, yeah.
Explosions in the sky, explosions everywhere. Is this just a Yorkshire? I don't know if this is a Yorkshire thing at a Bonfire Night, but ginger parking as a kind of a food? Because I think, yeah, Bonfire Night and food go together quite well, as you've just shown there, Jack. Ginger parking is like a proper Yorkshire Bonfire Night food. Is that anyone else's experience?
No, that's a northern thing, definitely, Jim.
You're all missing out. It's amazing.
What is it?
It's like a nougat, is it, type thing, Jim? Come on.
No, it's just like a ginger cake, but it just tastes amazing. It's just really beautiful. It's like properly nice on a kind of cold bonfire night. When you're
cup
there.
Of tea.
Oh, cup of tea. Yes, definitely. Perfect.
Sniff some of this parking out. I'm going to try and find some, Jim.
Right. I'll send some down from the from God's own country to your southerners. There we go. Brad, bonfire night, I imagine not a massive thing in South Africa, because, you know, we celebrate because of what happened here.
But... Yeah, well, no. We like to steal traditions as well.
Okay, good news.
I mean, England likes to steal countries and lands. We just like
that's a top Brad comment right there.
Like, growing up, I remember it being a big thing. Like, people would make it a thing. Like, you'd event, there was no traditional sort of food or drink to go with it, but it would always be like, oh, so and so is having fireworks at their house on the 5th, should we all go? And then, like, a group of you, it was just another excuse to have a whole group of people get together and get drunk, I think. Which was great when you're 11 years old. no, but I have great memories of going to, like, family friends' houses, and, like, you know, when the council puts on like a spectacle with fireworks, like most people in South Africa would do that in their house. Like in their garden and stuff like that. It was really good. Always magical.
See, that used to be definitely like a bigger thing here, I think. People doing their own firework displays. I think that's happening less and less, isn't it? People going to the kind of public ones. But firework night was always like your dad with a big tin, like a biscuit tin full of fireworks, then like shoving them in a milk bottle and then lighting them and running away. And despite what they said on the TV about not going back to them, edging back a little bit, they weren't setting off, to see them fly off and then realize why they tell you not to go back to a lit firework.
I remember the top shelf in the kitchen, my dad had like this giant rocket he'd been given one year, and it just sat up there for, I don't know whether it was for a year, but I remember it just always being up there, like, one day we will light this gargantuan bad idea of a firework.
My memory of this sort of thing was when my mum used to have people around, and we used to have like a tiny garden, which was not big enough to have the amount of people in it, and definitely wasn't big enough to be the distance away from the fireworks you needed to be when you lit them. And I always had a friend, my mum's friend, Anne and Colin, who used to come around. They didn't have kids themselves, so they had a little bit less disregard for safety around children. Every year it was like the thing, like Anne and Colin would bring the ridiculous firework to the party. And they're like a big, girthy bazooka type thing that was like, be 30 feet away from it, dig it halfway into the ground. And we'd just be like, yeah, be all right. Like, put some bricks around it. And it'd be like, like take off, literally scare cats 4 miles away. But you know, that was definitely a memory, like a great, that my mum always used to put on a little fireworks party for the mates, and that was always a good time.
We asked this in the group, and on that kind of theme of danger, one of the replies about the strongest memory of bonfire nights was my mum getting hit with a firework straight through the chin and into her chest, just missed the lungs and heart. I was terrified. I imagine she was a little bit more scared.
Okay. Sounds pretty serious.
This is your annual reminder to not play with fireworks.
Yeah, exactly. Bloody There's hell. A great fireworks safety article on dadsnet.com.
Expert. I don't know if it is now. We're growing up, were bang snaps ever a thing for you guys?
The ones you throw on the ground?
Yeah, those little things. Like, you're always like trying to like throw them at your mates and like...
I actually had a box of them the other day.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, are they still as fun? Or
absolutely. Absolutely they are, yes.
It's like you would do this most, like, you'd throw them at your mates to try and see if you could hit them hard enough that it'll pop on them, or you try and step on them as well to see if you could get enough force to pop them with your foot. Yeah, like, it's just great, man. Oh, I'm going to have to get some just for, like, the nostalgia, dude. And then when we all get together, I'm just going to peg you guys with them.
Okay, whoa. You can keep. I don't need any of that. Thank you, Brad. You can keep that. Save that for the Maldives, mate.
So you had bang snaps fireworks night. Did you ever have glow sticks on firework night? I remember them being a big thing. And that was someone, Lewis on Facebook said, he remembers stood freezing his tiny balls off in the rain with a glow stick. And I remember anti-climax of one of those spinny glow things or a glow stick or something like that that you bought while you were there.
And then the next day it's gone a very pale yellow and you have to put it in the freezer to make it work again, but it never does again.
And the reason you got a glow stick rather than a sparkler was because your parents had been terrified half to death by that advert that used to be on about always wear gloves when holding a sparkler. Never touch it again.
That
kid burning himself. You know,
I did put that in the article actually on dadsnet.com. I put a link to that video because it's one of the big fireworks day memories for me. Just watching that and going, I will never pick it up off the floor ever again.
We had sparklers at the wedding the other week, and I was like, nobody touch them again once you put them down. Like, I was like, because the advert just terrorizes me for life, Jim. It really does, mate.
Can I run through a couple of the other food related ones? You know, you were saying food and firework night seem to go together really well. Loads of the comments on Facebook were about food and stuff that I had never considered with firework night. So the first one was potatoes in the fire. So many people were saying that's like a real bonfire night tradition for them. Wrap it in tinfoil, shove it in the fire.
To go just alongside the hedgehog,
Open up the potato, put the hedgehog in. Delicious.
Put the little cheese and pineapple on the spine of the hedgehog, perfect. Multi-purpose.
But the one that really got me was Chris said, going to a bonfire with my dad and being introduced to eating marrow fat peas in white vinegar from a polystyrene cup using a chip.
Okay. That's quite a Nottingham tradition. They do that at Goose Fair. That's it. They're,
really? You have,
mushy peas, or like marrow fat mushy peas, mint sauce and vinegar. Like, and that's like, it's that everyone gets excited to go and have their mushy peas at Goose Fair in Nottingham. It's like, I found that out since I've moved here to the Midlands. So we've got parking up the north, peas in the Midlands, and hedgehogs down south.
I'll be honest, we win. That's undisputed, pretty much. There was another one that said baked potatoes wrapped in tinfoil and Heinz tomato soup in plastic cups. That's a very specific memory.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah.
Good time of year, though. Really is a good time of year for bonfire night. Everyone loves it.
But I'm going to make someone else set off the fireworks for me this year. I'm just paying to go somewhere because I just don't need the hassle. Because as someone said, my memory is nearly dying mostly because it was the 80s and that's what happened.
Everyone's got a story of a failed Catherine wheel as well. You've either burned down your shed, your neighbor's fence, or it's just not worked. And it's just like, that's how Catherine wheels work.
Yeah. Don't put it on something wooden. Come on, guys.
Get into Jim. What?
This is Lee's Dads from Dadsnet. Thank you very much for listening. We would love you to listen again, and we'll be back next week, live streaming 8:30 Tuesday night. Or you can catch up with us audio wise on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and all that lot as well. Please tell a friend about it. Get them to listen as well. It'd be lovely if we increased our audience through recommendations like that. And you can also just go and leave us a review, 5-star review, and really lovely comments on Apple Podcasts. Goes a long way to pushing us up in the charts. Thank you very much, Sparky.
Thanks, team.
Thank you to Jack.
Thank you. And let's not forget that Sparky was outraged that a woman would rather marry a ghost when she was totally doable.
And thank you to Brad.
Thank you very much, guys.
He's got a lot of explaining to do to his kid, so he needs to go. We will see you next week. This is Loose Dads from Dadsnet.
Loose Dads, a Dadsnet original podcast.